partnership with AnnaValleyShip.com. The Ghost Show is back. Thursday night, October 2nd, 2014. A little preview action. LSU traveling to Jordan-Hare Stadium, taking on the Auburn Tigers. 6 o'clock kickoff on ESPN HD. Kerry Munch, your host, in the saddle. Patrick Morris, Ponchatoula. What's up, Pat? Pat?
Ponchatoula. Pat there.
What's up? Podcat, pushing buttons behind the scenes. The Pearport Pimp, Cager Billy D. Williams, pushing the buttons. Managing editor of Anna Valley Shook and creator extraordinaire, producer of The Go Show. Ways to get in touch with the show, as always, download us to your smartphone device via iTunes. Like us on Facebook. Follow the show at one of three handles, at Go Show Kerry, at Cat Godfather, or if you want to follow the site itself, at Valley Shook, that's Podcat, always updating and with his banter, with his Twitter banter. Podcat's find himself a home on Twitter, Patrick. He is a Twitter connoisseur.
He is the biggest tweet.
He's the biggest twit.
That's what I'm looking for.
He's the biggest twit I know.
But he's our twit, so let's go.
He is our twit. And if you mess with our twit, you get the
you going
get
downhill you quick. Mess, let's talk a little
bit. You get the horns. You mess with this twit, you get, you know, whatever. Punch in the face. That's what's up. So anyway, LSU, fresh off a 63-7 victory over New Mexico State. Of course, the biggest news coming out of that was the insertion of Brandon Harris. But I guess it was early in the second quarter. Seven straight possessions with points. So very solid outing. And, of course, named by Les Miles yesterday in the Lunch with Les, named a starter going into the Auburn weekend. Patrick, this had to be. I mean, what other choice did Les Miles have? Let's just start out with that right now. What other choice did Les Miles really have other than to start Brandon Harris?
Absolutely none. If he doesn't start Brandon Harris in this game, somebody is going to, I don't know, somebody's going to take out his kneecaps. I don't know what they could do to him, but there's a lot of donor money that would have gotten pulled this week.
And now, granted, I mean, this is the kid's, it's going to be his first start on the road. I really hope that fans don't put a lot of unrealistic expectations on a young man. You know, he's bound to make a mistake on Saturday night, but it's no secret. He looks more, you know, minus that Wisconsin fiasco when he came in for those three snaps. He looks like he has gotten more and more confidence. He's gained control of the offense. The offense flows a little bit better with him. I don't know if he's just better at running that 31 personnel than Anthony Jennings is, but To be able to do things more out of that, to loosen up defenses, he's got the arm strength, and he looks like he knows where he wants to go with the football, and he gets the football in a hurry. So he most definitely gives us the best chance to win. And a lot of people were asking me and talking to different people on Sunday, you know, asking me what I thought. You know, do I think Harris is going to start? And I pretty much thought that there was no way that he wasn't going to start. I didn't know that the announcement was going to come as early as yesterday, but I guess for once Les Miles is actually thinking, and instead of, you know, having all that media attention on Jennings and asking him all these questions and asking Brandon Harris all these questions, he went out, didn't even get asked a question about who was going to start Saturday. He just went out and basically just led with it, as only Les Miles could, stating that and I'm paraphrasing that he's earned the right to take first snaps with the offense on Saturday night. So the Brandon Harris era has begun. Hopefully it sparks this offense, which needs a little bit of a spark, because we're going to need all offense we can get on Saturday night in Jordan-Hare, Patrick.
Yeah, we will. But you know what? The new era is here. I mean, if you're going to play freshmen all over the field, this is the year to. I mean, you don't have another choice. You we're the only team. I think I looked at a stat. We've got 8 seniors really that play in the starting lineup. That's including all phases of the game. That's unreal. The next closest in the SEC, I think, is like 14 or 15. So if you're going to build, and I hate to say rebuild, this is rebuild, but we're rebuilding with talent, which means we're not far off. We're going to make some mistakes. They are freshmen. But if you're recruiting freshmen that have played at a high level, hell, most of these guys have played, you know, high school championship games. They've been to these major camps in the offseason. They've seen each other. These freshmen have worked together. You know, Harris and Dupree and all these guys they've been throwing passes to each other since probably they were sophomores or less in high school. So they have the camaraderie already, and you know it coming in as freshmen. It's your, you know, you kind of gel together. It's your class. So if you're going to play them all out there, let's play them all out there and let's get it done. You know, between those two, our running backs, now is the future. To put a weird phrase out there, but now is the future.
Now is the future. So, and speaking of that future, one quick note I wanted to mention at the top of the program that I forgot to mention was everybody saw Dwayne Thomas get carted off on Saturday night. He did tear his ACL. He's out for the year, and that's a blow to a defense that's short on playmakers, and he was one of the few. I think he was something like fourth or fifth on the team in tackles. And the first few games we saw him when defense was actually swarming around the ball, he was usually in the mix. We saw a couple plays against Wisconsin, a couple plays against, you know, some of the lesser opponents, Mississippi State. I didn't watch anything about, you know, with the defense in that one. So I don't really know what he was in on in that one. But, you know, that's a big blow. And, it's time for somebody else to step up. You know, Jamal Adams is sitting right there, most likely to take over in that position. But Jamal Adams, in the short time that he's been on the field, he is – I heard a stat yesterday. Jamal Adams has been for the limited amount of time – the limited amount of action that Jamal Adams has seen, and I can't remember what the exact number of, I guess, plays were or minutes played or whatever. He's ninth on the team in tackles. That's impressive for a guy who's not playing a whole lot of snaps. So – you know, it sucks losing Dwayne Thomas. You know, guys are going to have to step up. Most notably, you know, it seems like Jamal Adams would be that guy. But and of course, and you're looking at some more freshmen getting some more playing time now. You're looking at Ed Paris, you know, possibly, you know, switching in. And Dwayne Thomas was a nickelback. So, and help me out, Pac, I don't know if you're there. And I can't remember if Dwayne Thomas is an actual cornerback or a safety. Something tells me he's a safety. So, which I think he was, because they said they used him a lot on blitzes and things like that. So I'm almost positive he was a safety.
You know, sticking with the defense team, you know, as far as young players go, I watched, you know, and I obviously couldn't go to that game because I had other things come up on Saturday, but I was able to watch the whole thing. It's a different perspective when you're watching on TV, obviously, than being there. Mm-hmm. But the thing that I was looking at on defense, Beckwith, I mean, it's his time. It's his defense now. He's all over the place. He needs to play. I looked at the Mississippi State game. I looked at the one or two times that the quarterback got loose for New Mexico. You know, and what happened there was DJ Welter got caught. Every time that the quarterback gets loose, DJ Welter's being blocked, and he's being blocked easily. I know he may be a smart guy, I know, but you still got to have the physical talent to get off of that thing and go make a play. And I'm sorry, but the man is not it. Get back within the game and let's play some ball.
Yeah, I see DJ Welter, and boy, I hate to make this comparison, but I have no choice but to call him the Thomas Dunson of 2014. I mean, he's always out of position.
Always. It's not a stretch. Look at the game film.
The touchdown run. The touchdown run by the New Mexico State quarterback on Saturday night, he was out of position. He gets sucked in all the time. Kendall Beckwith is a guy who seems to be making plays, and he looks like he's playing more and more every week. So that's a key. It's going to start right there. LSU defensively on Saturday night is going to have to figure out some kind of way to contain this Auburn rushing attack, because we already know that LSU up front at the defensive tackle position is weak. I don't know Quentin Thomas's status for Saturday, but it would surely help if he's playing. I'm not really sure what's going on with him, but you know, we need somebody. We need linebackers or a safety to step up in run support some kind of way, which is going to be difficult to do because Auburn, the way they run the ball, you know what Auburn's offense is simple.
It is.
They spread you out. They got about five different plays that they run, but they do them out of all kind of different formations. They do all kind of different things with the ball as far as faking and things like that. So it's really hard to have an extra person step up in the box when they run an offense like that, when they spread you out like that. But we've got to get guys that can get off blocks and make some plays and do something. And hopefully the secondary covers a tad bit better than what they did against Mississippi State. That's still the most disconcerting thing coming out of that Mississippi State game was how poorly our secondary looked. And that's, you know, I'd have felt a little bit better coming into this game with, you know, which appears to be like possibly a more efficient offense with Brandon Harris and the fact that our cornerbacks were still playing good ball, but they didn't play well against Mississippi State. And that needs to change. If we can't cover Sammy Coates and Duke Williams, it's going to be another long night for LSU.
It will be, but you know what? I still want to make Nick Marshall beat us with his arm and not with his
leg. No question. Yeah.
I mean, I cannot stand – I don't know what irks me more than seeing the quarterback run wild up the middle of the gut of the field. I cannot stand that.
You hate it?
Let me reiterate that. I cannot stand that.
No, it's – because, I mean, that's – you got the biggest hole. I mean, that's just – That can't happen. And for this LSU team to have success Saturday night and to be able to get off the field and give our offense a chance to control some clock themselves and make some plays, they're going to need to – LSU's going to have to put our offense in good field position. And it's, you know, a young quarterback, you know, on the road in his first start, it's going to be loud. It's going to be hostile. You know, LSU needs to find a way defensively to put our offense in good situations here. And hopefully there's some things, you know, the quarterback position is such a high profile position that you don't really, you know, you're not really hearing too much about what's going on in the defense, but it's in some ways it's a lot more concerning than the offensive side of the ball, but the offensive side of the ball is what gets all the pub. So.
Well, let me expand on why though. I can't stand that. With our defense, and there is real reasoning behind the fact that I cannot stand a quarterback or a running back going right over the center's behind straight up the middle for 50 yards. Because of the simple fact that we have so much team speed. Supposedly we are one of the fastest teams around, you know, and if you've got team speed, you know what? Make them go to the outside. Let's see who's faster.
Yeah.
Rather than going straight up the field. Cause hell, anybody can run straight with a hole, but close the middle, make them take the extra time to go to the outside. Let's see if our speed catches up a little bit. That's why I cannot stand it.
Yeah. And LSU's been getting beat up the gut all season long. So why we're not forcing people to go to the outside, I don't know. You know, I don't know if it's the fact that we don't have – our defensive ends aren't what we possibly thought they were. But, you know – something needs to change, and that's, you know, there's nothing really more that can be said. I mean, LSU's got a long road ahead of them, you know, with the rest of the season. I mean, I was just watching SEC Now earlier, and they ranked Matt Stinchcomb, ranked the seven teams in the SEC West, and we were number seven behind an Arkansas team who has not won a conference game since 2012. So, I mean, I can understand six because of how young we are and how good everybody else is and how experienced a lot of these other teams are. But to be ranked seven behind Arkansas, because the way he put it was Arkansas knows their identity.
We can't stop the run. That's why.
Yeah, and LSU still doesn't really know on both sides of the ball, really. But Arkansas knows what they want to do offensively. You know, and that's just, It's hard to say we're falling on hard times because we're still 4-1. There's still 3-4 possible wins on this schedule, I think, in my opinion. There's 7 more potential wins on our schedule. I mean, that's how big the margin of error is this season. I mean, this game against Mississippi State could be our turning point, like it was for Auburn when Auburn came to LSU last year, or it could be our downfall. You know, which way are we going to go? So, and it starts up front with both lines. It's obvious on the offensive side of the ball how much better we are when we're running plays out of shotgun and pistol as opposed to I formation. Now, granted, it's still good to mix some of those things in, but the most important thing is to spread Auburn out as best we can, hopefully pop some runs here and there, and hopefully get Brandon Harris on the move, and hopefully we can protect and give him time to throw the ball because I think our receivers can get open against this Auburn defense. I really do. So, you know, there was nothing I saw from Auburn against Kansas State the other night that really impressed me. They made the plays down the stretch when they needed to. Duke Williams is a viable threat. He's a big receiver. We need to get somebody on him and lock him down. Running back Cameron Artis Payne is a playmaker. Of course, they what they like to do. They're going to run the ball. You know, they're pretty much what we want to do, except they just go about it a little bit differently. They're going to run the ball 65-70% of the time, more than likely, especially against our defense. So it's extremely important to do like we were talking about, not letting Nick Marshall beat us with his arm, and definitely not letting Nick Marshall beat us with his feet.
No, and like I said, the game plan last year, that's the way I know it was raining last year, and I know Auburn saying, oh, we're going to avenge that loss. You know, I know that's been the talk in there, and I'm sure that Kerry, when you're jumping on with the our cohort from the Auburn site, that y'all will discuss that. But, okay, so they're going to eventually, but you know what? Go out there with the same game plan. It's now us. We're the underdog. We're definitely the underdog now. It's been a long time since we've been the underdog overall in the SEC West, you know, other than a couple of games. So now it's, okay, guys, nobody gives us a chance to do anything. Let's go play ball. You know, let's show them what kind of talent we have. Let's use that as motivation. They're coming to bust you in the mouth. They think we're a bunch of freshmen out there, and they're an experienced team that went to the national championship last year. Let's show them what it's all about. And definitely, no matter what you do, you cannot let what happened against Mississippi State in our place happen at Auburn, because it'll be even worse. You cannot let them jump out 14-17-0, or you cannot have to go for it on, you know, 4 downs from your 1-yard line and not make it. That
right.
cannot happen.
Right. Yeah. A bunch better efforts. You know, I just don't know what. I don't know what happened. You know, like I said, it's hopefully that fourth quarter was a turning point for this football team. And I know Mississippi State was in a soft defense, but we still made plays on defense to keep getting the ball back too in that fourth quarter. So, that being said, and it's easy. I mean, you look at this series, Patrick, and more often times than not, when the two teams are mostly evenly matched, the home team usually comes out on top. So I'm not going to be supremely disappointed if LSU loses this game because of the way this series goes and how young we are and how experienced Auburn is. But if we go out and just get our behinds handed to us again and we get manhandled on both sides of the ball and – you know, we're down by 24 points in the fourth quarter, and we're scoring garbage touchdowns in the end to make it close. You know, it's going to be dire straits against LSU, and it's going to be the same talk, you know, after the Mississippi State game. You're going to hear the same type of talk after that game. You know, we're not going to win a game the rest of the season, and
Miles is going to go and this and that, yeah, and everything else.
Right.
Yep.
Right.
And so, it's going to come out. Hell, the rumors are already out there, even with that stupid AD going. So, anyway.
Talking about the Michigan stuff?
Yeah.
Oh, that's not happening.
I know it's nothing, but it's just going to compound itself because everybody likes to talk as soon as, you know, okay, well, if we lose this game, oh crap, we're not going to win this, we're not going to do that. You know, it's time, and it's going to be stupid. It's going to just get stupid.
At that point, then why would even Michigan want like a potential like 5-7, 6-6 football coach?
Exactly. So, I'm just saying. No, but you know the talk's going to get stupid.
No, you knew the rumors were going to start as soon as the Brady Hoke rumors started, just because of the last two times they called him and he's turned him down twice. You know, at this point in his career, I don't see why all of a sudden he would say on the third time, I can't resist it now. I mean, that program is in shambles.
Oh, I'm not really worried. You know, it is what it is, right, at this point. We're worried about playing ball. And I think at this point we should be past all of that. I'm just saying, you know, I just don't want to even hear the crap.
Hear the crap. You don't want to hear the crap. So, Patrick, keys to victory. We've talked about it in a roundabout way, but let's kind of bring it all in right now. Keys to victory for you, for LSU, for Saturday night.
Got to run the ball effectively. You know, and effectively to me is 4 to 5 yards. You don't have to break out the 7 and 8 yard runs. 4 to 5 yards, positive yardage every time you get a first down. Positive yardage. You know, no turnovers obviously is going to be a major key. You cannot afford the mistake, not against, you know, Auburn's a good football team. You cannot afford the mistake, especially in their place. You know, if we can somehow get in there and get a quick score early before they do, somehow kind of quiet the crowd down a little bit, because they're going to be pumped. This is the biggest game they've had in there all season. Mm-hmm. You know, so they're ready to go. Plus, they have the motivation of losing last year and saying, oh, it was a fluke. So they want to prove something. But then again, our freshmen are ready to prove, look, we're ready to step up to the big time. I think, you know, obviously they're going to be able to game plan for Brandon Harris all week. So it's going to be a little bit different story, him coming in the game as far as game planning. You know, as far as Auburn goes, game planning for him. They're going to throw some blitz packages at him. He's going to have to handle it. He's going to have to be able to jump outside that pocket. He's going to have to use his legs a little bit. You know, he's going to have to get up the middle and make some positives, or if you need to, throw that ball away. I'm not saying be as conservative as Jennings was and just throw the ball on the ground and whatever. Of course, we know Jennings wasn't conservative last game. He just threw it to the other team. Defensively, obviously, we got to match up one-on-one on the outside. We've got to be able to cover one-on-one. Are we going to get, you know, are they going to throw it at us a couple times? Are they going to complete a couple passes? Yes. You know, but the key is to win the game, not necessarily every battle. But you know, and then when you get down in that red zone, which they're going to do, you've got to hold on the field goals and you can't give up the touchdown. You just can't do it. So to me, that's your keys. Don't let Nick Marshall beat you up the middle. Make them go around the outside and use your team's speed to your advantage.
Yeah, I'm going to go offensively. I'm going to go with the old the old offensive adage, you know, we got to inside, we got outside him, you know, kind of like when, you know, when Rudy was pretending he was Newt Rockne and he was giving a speech in the locker room while Charles S. Dutton was trying to, you know, do his work. And you got to inside him and outside him. I like running the ball out of the 31 package. I like getting Fournette and McGee on the outside, but I also like the occasional let's line up on the center, not necessarily an eye formation. But we've got a kind of a hidden gem, I think, in Darrell Williams, who I think is a guy who might not bust out for 20 carries and 105 yards, but let's say we just kind of do something where we're kind of running him 8 to 10 times and he gets about 35, 40 yards throughout the game, but they're all inside runs and they're kind of wearing down an inside of that offense. Then you kind of hit him with some outside, you know, some outside sweeps or some outside tosses to Fournette. Or McGee, trying to get those guys on the outside some kind of way, whether it's just like a little screen pass or something like that, just kind of some kind of mix where, you know, we've got a guy, you know, that can kind of lean on that defense and hopefully get a couple yards here and there, just enough to make them aware of it so we can come and try to hit them with some outside runs. And eventually loosen them up to where we can hit something, you know, intermediate pass or take a shot deep or, you know, get Brandon Harris on a run on a little rollout and hit like a little, you know, crossing pattern or a little corner route somewhere. So like we saw him do against New Mexico State on Saturday. So that's where it needs to be. Defensively, you know, I can't really add too much more to what you've already said. It's a matter of trying to find some type of way to neutralize the running game from Auburn and being able to cover their receivers when they take those shots downfield. Because if we can't cover, if they're beating us throwing a football and there's wide open guys, it's gonna be a long freaking night. So it's pretty simple. I mean, it's not, you know, you know, you kind of feel like you repeat yourself every week when you're talking about game plans and things, but it's, you know, it's as easy as winning a battle up front and trying to match up, you know, strength for strength and trying to neutralize a team's strength and try to force them to try to make a team one-dimensional and try to make them, you know, try to take away their strength and try to force them to do what they're not accustomed to doing, and that's throwing a football. If LSU doesn't throw the ball a whole lot, Auburn throws the ball even less. So just to kind of put that in perspective, we don't throw the ball hardly at all. We only threw the ball – granted, it was against New Mexico State. We only threw the ball 20 times on Saturday night, so.
Good point.
So, you know, and that's that.
And that is that's a wrap on the what LSU needs to do. You know what we need to do? We need to just play tougher than they do, faster than they do, and score more points than they do. Hey.
And hopefully win. Yeah. Are you hosting the game Saturday, Patrick?
I guess I'm hosting the game Saturday. In fact, I think we're going to be.
You tell me.
No, we are, and then we're going to be graced with some outside people's presence. I think one Mr. Blaine Clancy is going to show up.
Oh, you've been in contact with Blaine?
Yes.
Okay.
So I believe that crew will be coming.
Outstanding. Looking forward to that. Looking forward to that. You will hear a little bit later on. Well, not a little bit later on. Coming up in just a little bit, I'm going to be talking to. And I had this right in front of me earlier, and I'm totally drawn blank. In a little bit from our Auburn guest is going to be Walt Alston. He is from collegeinmagnolia.com, which is of course the SB Nation site. For the Auburn Tigers, we'll be talking to him in just a couple of minutes. Me and Patrick, first, we're going to knock out some picks. The Goshen Pick'em is up. It's up early. Again, if you're not signed up yet, feel free to do so. You can compete for weekly prizes, and it's never too late. Even if you just want to have some fun for a few weeks left in the season. Not a few weeks. We've still got, you know, three quarters of the season left. But, you know, you can still compete for weekly prizes even if you haven't signed up yet and it's your first time hearing about this. Just go to AnnaValleyShook.com right now. It's up there. Go Show Pick'em Challenge. It's run through a website called FunOfficePools.com. User, you know, you need the same old rigmarole. You know, user ID, password. Make your picks. We pick about 12 or 13 games every week against the spread, and just keep standings from there. I had After a bad first week, I've been kind of jumping up. And last week, I was kind of humbled a little bit. I think I went 5-7, something like that. So I'm looking to bounce back, Patrick. I don't know how you're doing, but I'm middle of the pack. I'm like 48th overall or something like that. But coming up from 112 overall after the first week, and I'm feeling pretty good about where I'm at.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to go check my standings. I'm not sure.
Okay, that's not important. So anyway,
let's run through how we pick.
Let's run through a few games here.
Let's do that.
Let's Thursday night. This is a intriguing game. Rich Rodriguez got them boys in Arizona playing pretty well. But anyway, they're going to Autzen Stadium in Eugene, taking on the Oregon Ducks. Arizona still unranked, but 4-0. Going to Eugene, taking on the Oregon Ducks, who's dropped down to fourth in the polls. They've been jumped by a couple people here. They've looked a little vulnerable at times this season, but they're still there. They're 23.5-point favorites at home. Patrick, has Arizona improved enough to actually go into Autzen and cover that 23.5?
Arizona's not a bad team, but not on a Thursday night. I mean, there's something about those Thursday night games when they're playing at home and stuff. The home team always seems to have that advantage, that extra 5 to 8-point advantage just playing at home because of Thursday. I think Oregon does cover this because they get a couple of late touchdowns.
Okay. Yeah, I tend to agree with you. Now, I kind of agree with you a little bit about that home team thing, but I was way, way off on that Arizona State thing last weekend.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. To the tune of like 62-27. You know, we talked about how much UCLA struggled. Well, they broke out of that funk in a big way last weekend, so whatever. Props to them. So that's I'm with you though. I like Oregon to cover. Like you said, I think they win going away. Probably win this game by, you know, 28 points, something like that. But never know. But for all intents and purposes, I'm picking Oregon.
Well, they've got to prove it to stay in the hunt for the top four.
Right. Yeah. So moving on in the SEC, Bill. We ought to just talk about all the SEC games. I mean, the SEC slate is jam packed. A&M Mississippi State. I think it's a we've got it 1.5. Mississippi State getting 1.5. This game's in Stark Vegas. Both teams undefeated. Patrick.
It'd be nice
since we've already played Mississippi State. It'd be nice if Mississippi State won this football game.
You know what? And that's the one reason I'm picking them. That is the one reason I'm picking them. I'm saying, Hail State, let's go, baby. If you're going to beat us, like I told our friend Justin Proctor, now don't screw this up and lose the next three.
Right. Yeah. Please don't. Yeah. Don't go all Mississippi State on it. If there was ever a Mississippi State to sneak up and sneak into, I mean, an SEC West that is just phenomenally, when Mississippi State and Ole Miss are talking about as potential winners of the Western Division amongst a team of, you know, other stacked teams, that's you got the real deal going on in your conference there. So you look at this quarterback matchup, Kenny Hill versus Dak Prescott. That's going to be phenomenal. What time is this game? This game's at noon?
Wow.
Okay. Didn't know that.
Good to know. Guess I'll be watching.
What channel is this coming on? I didn't know this was a noon game.
Guess I'll be seeing you there early, Kerry.
So, well, we got to go to a birthday party first.
Well, that's nice. Where your party at?
Chuck E. Cheese for JJ.
Oh,
this one's on the SEC Network at noon. So, I thought Florida Tennessee was a 12:00 SEC Network game. I'm confused. Anyway, I'm picking Mississippi State. I'm with you. I can't wait to watch this. I cannot wait to watch this quarterback battle. This is gonna be awesome. But I like this game's in Starkville. A&M had to go to overtime to beat Arkansas. So, you know, man, come on, Mississippi State. Come on, you got to do this for me. You got it. You owe us this.
After
kicking our ass. This used to be a game that mattered, Patrick. But Florida, Tennessee, whatever. A couple of crappy teams. Florida's 2-1, Tennessee's 2-2. Tennessee's playing tough. I think I'm picking Tennessee. Tennessee's getting 1.5. Tennessee's a little bit more battle tested than Florida, I think, to this point. So for that reason alone, I'm liking Tennessee to cover that 1.5 and win against Florida.
I'm agreeing with you there. I think, you know, even though they're 2-2, they do have a little bit of confidence that they can now step up and play a little bit with some of the, you know, They're reaching that next level tier. They still got a ways to go before they reach our type of tier in Alabama and those guys. But they're not the bottom dweller anymore. They're not Vanderbilt. They're not the old Kentucky and all that stuff. So I like Tennessee at home too.
Okay. Let's step away from the conference for a second. We're going to go – hold on a second. Oh, A&M and Mississippi State is at noon on ESPN Prime. Wow, that's usually a Big Ten slot. So is that Eastern? That's got to be Eastern, right? So no, hopefully it's noon Central. I hate for that game to be at 11:00 in the morning. Oh, it is Eastern, so it's 11:00 in the morning.
Oh,
damn! So I'm gonna miss some of it. That's okay. That's all right. Anyway,
happy birthday, Kerry.
Not for me. Happy birthday, Shaylin. Stanford going to South Bend. Actually, Notre Dame getting 0.5. 4-0. Notre Dame's 4-0, ranked number 8. Stanford 3-1, ranked number 13. Stanford's only loss being a 3-point loss to USC. But Notre Dame's still getting that 0.5. Patrick. I knew who I'm picking because there's no way in hell I'm picking them. So I'll just get it out of the way. I'm picking Stanford.
I know you're not, but I'm actually this is – okay. I'm looking for the lightning to strike me now, but I am going with Notre Dame.
Oh, you bastard. That's okay. I can't pick
Notre Dame. I know you can't, but I'm going to do it. I'm going with my head on this one.
Okay. All right. Big 12.
Oh, yeah.
Oklahoma taking on TCU. TCU's kind of, Ho-hum, 25th in the country, 3-0. They're at home getting 4.5 against Oklahoma. I haven't seen enough of either one of these teams. I know Oklahoma beat Tennessee by 24. They've got a good defense. They play, I guess, decent offense against TCU. I give me Oklahoma.
Yeah, I don't see TCU coming close in this game. Maybe they got more than I know. I don't know. But I got Oklahoma winning by like 40 points.
Okay. That's big. So
that'll cover the spread, won't it?
All right, let's one more outside of the conference, and we got to move on to these last two SEC games that we're all going to talk about. Let's go to Pac-12 real quick. Arizona State, fresh off a trouncing against UCLA, traveling to Los Angeles to take on USC. USC giving 10.5 at home. Patrick, what you like?
That half a point is playing with my mind right now. I'm going to go USC in this one. Arizona State, you know, they disappointed me last week, so I cannot take them this week.
Yeah. Now, I forget USC dropped that game to Boston College. They're a little bit vulnerable on defense. Arizona State's got a decent offense, good quarterback. But still, USC at home. Arizona State, I mean, that's to get beat like that by 35 in your home stadium, that sucks. Hopefully they got some bounce back in them. We'll see. But I don't know. I think I'm going to go against you on this. Give me Arizona State.
No.
Give me Arizona State to cover this one. I don't know. Call me crazy.
No.
Paint me silly. I don't know. All right. Alabama and Ole Miss. We got to move along. We are just dragging it out here tonight.
Hell of slated games, though. You cannot help.
You do. I know. We are. Alabama and Ole Miss. This is another one. This is a show me game for Ole Miss. You know, they've got that experienced quarterback. They've got that excellent defense. Going up against a team, neither one of these teams really played anybody. I give the slight edge to Ole Miss. I mean, they have played Boise State, and they do have a conference game under their belt. Alabama does. Well, Alabama beat the crap out of Florida. But I don't know if Florida's in the SEC this year or not. But either way, Alabama traveling to Oxford, Ole Miss getting 6.5 at home. I love home dogs in spots like this, but I was completely wrong about Arizona State. This is either the weekend where Alabama's going to show that, you know, they've just been toying around and they're all getting for a real team, or they're going to show that they are vulnerable and Ole Miss is going to pick them off. Again, I'm not picking with my head. I'm picking with my heart, and I can't stand Ole Miss, but I hate Alabama even more. So give me Ole Miss to cover that 6.5 at home.
Nope, can't do it. Alabama, I think, found their offense last week. They kind of settled down a little bit, and they're going to cover these Ole Miss receivers one-on-one. They can match up with them, and the team speed, give me Alabama to solidify their number one spot.
All righty, and of course, one more time, we've talked about it earlier, we're going back to it. LSU traveling to Auburn, Jordan-Hare Stadium, getting 8.5. Patrick?
You know I'll never pick against us.
I know.
But, you know, it's going to be a challenge. That's all I'm going to say. It will be a challenge, but you know I'm picking LSU.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. If we're picking games, just win or lose, I'd probably pick Auburn, but when I see those points, and I see that 8.5, I don't want to see us lose by what would essentially probably be double digits, if Auburn was to cover that 8.5. So, for that reason only, I'm a diehard, I'm a homer. With the points, give me LSU. Again, like I said, we picked these games straight up. I'd probably pick Auburn, but give me LSU to cover. I don't know if we got enough to go in there and win, but hopefully we show some moxie and some heart, and hopefully we start building towards the rest of the season. And, you know, maybe we get lucky. Maybe we get a lucky bounce, a turnover. You know, Auburn got about 4 or 5 lucky bounces last year, so it's not unfathomable that it can happen to us. And maybe we catch lightning in a bottle with a freshman quarterback. It's happened to – seems like it's been happening every year for like the last 5 years in college football. Somebody catches lightning in a bottle with a freshman quarterback. Hopefully, you know, maybe LSU's that team for once. You know, maybe we catch something here and we ride that wave. So that, I don't care if we got to outscore, but just let's do something. But, you know, let's see what happens. I will. If you want me to predict it, I'll say 34-27 Auburn. So LSU with a slight cover.
34-27. Well, I'll go
27-23. Okay. And I hope I'm wrong. And I hope you're right. So.
Okay.
You also did predict a blowout in Mississippi State game. You just picked it the wrong way.
I almost picked it exactly the same, just the wrong way.
So, anyways, listen to us. In a couple of minutes, we're going to be joined by collegeandmagnolia.com, SB Nation site, Mr. Walt Austin. Going to help me finish breaking down the Auburn Tigers and let him know what their thoughts are on LSU coming to town. Think they're taking us lightly? Or they still think we're a threat? What do they think about our lacklusterness on defense so far this year? What they got in store for us? We'll find out all that from him. For Patrick Morris, I'm Kerry Muntz. We will catch y'all back on the other side. Say bye-bye, Pat.
Bye-bye, Pat.
And here we are back to Go Show, your original LSU podcast in partnership with AndTheValleyShook.com, SB Nation site. And speaking of SB Nation, we are joined right now by our Auburn guest, Mr. Walt Austin from collegeandmagnolia.com, which is the Auburn SB Nation site. How you doing tonight, Walt?
Pretty good. How are y'all doing?
We are well. We are out here gearing up for an important road test. Switching quarterbacks, starting a true freshman quarterback on the road. A little concerned about defense and how well Auburn runs the ball, but other than that, it's a huge weekend in college football. I mean, the SEC West alone has three marquee games. I mean, what does that tell you about this division? It's just unbelievable what this division is like this season.
It's been crazy, and there were a lot of people that didn't think Texas A&M would do that well this year, but I mean, Kevin Sumlin did good with whatever he had at Houston, so we knew he was going to have something. But they have been surprising, and it's just added. Then you got Mississippi State and Ole Miss, so I don't remember the last time the Mississippis were that good.
Right, definitely not together. That's for certain. I mean, to have both of them ranked in a top 12 at this point, depending on what ranking you look at, good for them. I'm hoping, being that we've already played Mississippi State, that they can kind of prove their worth here at home. They have A&M in Starkville, so we'll see. But to the matter at hand, Walt, we're going to talk a little bit LSU and Auburn football. Auburn, of course, 4-0, ranked fifth in the country. We know what they like to do. Gus, let's start off with this. Gus Malzahn has stated many, many times, and I'm curious to know if the Auburn fan base kind of feels the same way. And I'm kind of using you as a voice for the Auburn fan base here tonight. But he stated that that second half of the LSU game last season was the turning point in the season for them, which is kind of stating the obvious because they didn't lose another game the rest of the season. is that an accurate assessment, or was it more or less, was this a team that you saw kind of maturing and getting better? And then, of course, any team that goes on a run like Auburn has got to have some things bounce their way, and y'all certainly did that. So just speak to that a little bit to start out.
Yeah, I think that was definitely the turning point. I mean, Auburn came in there at night, Baton Rouge, and just got absolutely stomped on in the first half, and then came back in the second half and played well enough that they had a shot. I mean, barring a couple of stupid plays and stupid penalties, they could have very much squeaked out of there. And I think that was definitely a turning point of, hey, we can do this. We can play well. And plus, that's also one of the first times they started using the zone read as much as they did. I mean, the week prior, I believe, to with Mississippi State, they threw the ball for over 300 yards and barely ran it. I mean, Gus has a tendency to try to figure out his offense the first couple of games, and I think the second half of that game they realized, this probably is the best way to go, and it just kind of all clicked from there. And I think the experience, one of fighting back in Baton Rouge, is what really brought that team together as well.
Right, and I mean, just an impressive. Auburn has a tendency to kind of do that, throughout the years when they're not really expected to do much, kind of sneak up on some people and churn out a good season. Now, this year, the expectation's high. You know, no sign of a letdown so far, y'all. You know, Kansas State proved to be a pretty tough test for y'all. What do y'all think y'all learned about y'all team after that trip to Manhattan?
So we have some issues. I think that was the main thing. And one is the blocking with the zone read. And I don't know if the Louisiana Tech game after that is any indication that we haven't figured out how to fix those problems, or Gus didn't want to just show his hand. But Kansas State played an excellent defensive ball game, shut down the zone read, and forced Marshall to have to try to beat him throwing the ball. And I don't know how good Kansas State's defense is overall, but I think they're pretty good. And we may not be able to do that against too many teams in the SEC. So it's kind of – it's got the fan base kind of split right now, half and half. Some are saying, well, hey, we're still putting up good offensive production. But then others are looking at it going, yeah, but we're not where we were last year. And the offensive line, I think, is one of the main issues, just the blocking. And we'll see how that goes, I guess, Saturday night, see if we've learned anything.
Yeah, I got you. And one of the things that I like how Gus Malzahn runs an offense. I mean, he keeps things fairly simple. I mean, I think I either read this or heard this. I mean, y'all offense is pretty – it's pretty basic, but it's just a lot of different things from it's a lot of the same thing from a lot of different looks and a lot of different formations and ball fakes and things like that. Is that an accurate statement?
Yeah, I think it is. One of the things that's different about what he does is he can pretty much run any play in his playbook out of any formation he has. And I think that's one of the things he does to keep people guessing. And I've always said that, you know, Gus doesn't really have a – if there's a style to his offense, it's the hurry up, no huddle. He doesn't really have a scheme. He just has a style. He's going to do whatever he can. He's going to take whatever the defense gives him, but it's as long as it's at that hurry up, no huddle pace. And that's one thing Kansas State was able to do as well. Or maybe it was the Big 12 officials not spotting the ball fast enough. I'm not sure. But Auburn just never got into their pace in that game. And the pace is the key to it. I mean, you can look at 2011 when Chizik hamstrung the hurry up, no huddle aspect, and the offense stagnated from there. But it is. It's he can run. It's simple formations, simple plays, but you can do every play from every formation, and that's what keeps you guessing.
Yeah, that's the beauty of it. You can't really. It's hard for a defense to, in my opinion, when they play Auburn, to load 8-9 in a box, because he spreads you out so well and uses all those different formations to keep a defense off balance, and that's what. You know, you look at a team like that, like in Auburn, and say how, you know, we know what they're going to do. They don't throw the ball, you know, a lot. I mean, only 98 pass attempts through, I think you've played, what, just four games?
Yep.
Four games. So, I mean, that's not too bad. That's almost 25 pass attempts a game, but still, you know, somewhere, you know, I think y'all 10th or 11th in the SEC in passing right now, but that's because y'all run the ball so effectively, and teams know what y'all are going to do. And I think what Kansas State did was they stayed pretty disciplined as far as going against that offense, and that's what I think is important for LSU on Saturday night, is to stay within their assignments, because yeah, I mean, Cameron Artis Payne's is a beast. I mean, he's running the ball for y'all pretty well. Nick Marshall, second on team in rushing, so he's definitely a threat, that dual threat guy who can make the throws and doesn't make a whole lot of mistakes. Only one interception on the year. And then every now and again, and I saw Jeremy Johnson come in the game briefly against Kansas State, which really was kind of a strange time for him to come in. But is he still a guy? I know he played in that first game with the Marshall suspension. But is he a guy who still kind of comes in as a change of pace quarterback? Is he used a whole lot, or was that Kansas State thing just an anomaly?
I think they do have packages for him. I mean, even last week, Cameron Artis Payne's first touchdown was a play with Johnson at quarterback and Marshall split out wide. So, I mean, there's some funny stuff that Gus can still plan to do with Johnson.
Right. And that's something that LSU needs to think about. I mean, that's definitely something that, if for anything, it's something that LSU needs a game plan for. I mean, that's for certain. Talk a little bit about, I mean, like I said, we talked about Nick Marshall, and Nick Marshall kind of, I'm trying to remember his backstory from a year ago. I remember he came in. I think was he a defensive back somewhere? Or
he was. He was a defensive back at Georgia, and
right,
he went to junior college.
Okay. So talk a little bit about him, about his maturation. He's now what? Is he a sophomore? Is he a junior?
Oh, he's a senior. This is it for him.
Oh, he's a senior. Okay. Yep. You know, a guy who, you know, last year came out of nowhere, played well enough at times for y'all to continue to compete. And again, he poses that dual threat, which LSU kind of struggles with. It kind of seems that if LSU has trouble containing Marshall in the running game, LSU's going to have a long day out of him.
I think they kind of turned Marshall loose a little bit last week when the zone read, when running the ball up the middle wasn't gaining much traction. They turned Marshall a little bit loose to run more often. And he is, I mean, he's a threat to take it to the house. And one of the things that's always struck me the most about him, he seems to throw the ball better when he's moving. When he stands in the pocket, I don't think he's that fantastic. But when he's moving, it's like, I don't know, he flips the switch to where he's just not thinking about it, and that's when he's really dangerous throwing it. But he's a definite home run threat either way. I mean, he's got a cannon of an arm, and he's fast and quick. So if they turn him loose, it could be a fun night for him. But that's going to depend on whether the wide receivers can do their job blocking as well. And that's an issue we had somewhat the past 2 weeks as well.
Gotcha. It seems like a lot of those dual threat guys, when you get them on the move a little bit, they tend to throw better than what they do. I guess they're so accustomed in high school to being on a run and moving around in a pocket and throwing a football and just kind of playing, I guess, backyard football at times. And when they get into a structured settlement like a major Division I college and they're actually kind of just standing there in a pocket, they seem a little, you know, unnerved a little bit. But once they get kind of on the move, they kind of, you know, and I see that a lot in Brandon Harris and Anthony Jennings. Now, Brandon Harris seems to be able to throw the ball from just about anywhere from what I've seen from him so far. But it kind of sticks out a little bit when you see those dual threat guys on the move. They're in their comfort zone, it seems like, more and more when they're out on the run, out on a corner somewhere, and they break contain. And then if you have a receiver who can feed off of that and get himself open, it just makes it that much easier. Because if you got a defensive back who steps up because he sees that quarterback turn that corner a little bit, it's a dangerous situation. I mean, we've seen that a number of times. So
that was actually one of Auburn's main, one of their touchdowns last Saturday was Marshall broke loose, was on the run, and then Quan Braid jumped up and pulled one down in the end zone. I mean, it was a beautiful pass. Quan out-jumped the defensive back, and, you know, it was a great play looking back at it. And it's just one of those things. You get him loose, and he seems like he's a whole lot better.
Yeah, right. Now, y'all definitely got some playmakers offensively. We know what Auburn's going to do. We know Auburn's MO on offense. Defensively, looking at this game, y'all got a game plan now for a true freshman quarterback. A guy who, you know, in Brandon Harris, who's seen action against Mississippi State, and I guess I call it mop-up duty a little bit. It was in the fourth quarter in a game that was out of hand. And then against New Mexico State. What is it about, you think, what LSU has now in Harris that might be a concern for Auburn defensively?
I think his accuracy as a quarterback, especially on intermediate throws, and with Auburn's going to have to adjust to the possibility that we may have two linebackers starting that haven't really played that much this year. So both of our starting linebackers went out last week, and I'm not sure what their status is. Gus is notoriously tight-lipped about injuries. And being able to see what LSU's doing in the intermediate passing game is probably going to give Auburn some fits. And throw enough slant routes, underneath routes, and LSU can march the ball down the field on them. I'm fairly confident in our secondary now, which feels really strange to say after the past couple of years, but it definitely concerns me with how well he's been throwing the ball. And then Auburn's intangible aspect of seemingly being unable to cope with new quarterbacks. It is, but new quarterbacks always give us fits.
Well, that's from my standpoint, let's hope that's the case. But you know, again, no, we're talking, and this is the Go Show, the original LSU podcast. We're talking to Walt Austin from collegeandmagnolia.com, the SB Nation site for the Auburn Tigers. We talked a little bit defense about how to defend Brendan Harris. Talk about a little bit about Duke Williams and that for a team that is so heavy based on that spread run attack. How key is it to have a big physical receiver like Duke Williams that you can kind of rely on from time to time? He's clearly the number one receiver. He's got almost triple the number of catches that anybody else on the team has. And we saw him make, after a couple of key drops in that game against Kansas State, he made that key grab to pretty much ice the game. That's a guy that I think LSU needs to kind of key on. But how important is it to have a guy like that on your team, that the defenses have to account for?
Yeah, he's absolutely essential. I mean, he provides that. He's a possession receiver. I mean, you throw something his direction, normally he's going to catch it, and he's pretty much a good guarantee for a couple of yards when you throw it to him. He's still a little rusty, back in the San Jose State game. Marshall read a blitz. Williams missed it, and the pass looked horrible. But he has provided a huge spark. It's somewhat hurt Auburn that we've got him, and then Sandy Coates has been a little hamstrung with an injury, so he hasn't been 100%. But if we can get both of those back, then you have Sammy as a threat on the deep route, Duke underneath, and that's a pretty scary threat for anybody to match up.
All right, wrapping up here, Walt, what's going to key an Auburn victory on Saturday night in this SEC West clash?
All right, key's going to be if Auburn can get that running game going. Can we gain yardage up the middle? Can we get some traction? Can we sustain drives and pace? And then can we open it up in the passing game after that? And then on the defensive side of the ball, who's going to play for one? I mean, the linebackers, they may be brand new, or not brand new, but relatively inexperienced. And can we actually develop a pass rush? Auburn has not had a four-man pass rush all year. We've really been missing Carl Lawson. So can we get pressure with four men, or are we going to have to blitz? And if we have to blitz, what's that going to leave Brandon Harris open to find with hitting his receivers? So rushing the passer, the linebacker play, running the football. That's if Auburn can do those things, then I think we'll be able to pull it out. If we can't, it might be a long night for Auburn.
We'll see. It's pretty exciting. I mean, LSU's got a kind of, a little renewed faith, with the change at quarterback, but it still doesn't solve the defensive issues we've had. But, who knows? We've seen an LSU team before step up and, contain a spread attack. We were able to game plan against A&M and Johnny Manziel. Let's hope that Chief's got some up his sleeve, but looking forward to a great game on Saturday. Walt, thanks for joining us tonight. Sorry it was a little scratchy at times, but we'll work through it. But we appreciate you coming on and spending some time with us and talking a little LSU Auburn football. The nightcap to what is just a phenomenal, phenomenal weekend in college football. The SEC West alone, three top 15 matchups. So, which is probably unprecedented as far as a one weekend of football like this. This is awesome. I can't wait. I'm actually glad that this game's away, so I can actually sit down and watch these games instead of just sitting at the tailgate all day long and not paying attention. But again, Walt Austin from collegeofmagnolia.com. Walt, where can they find you on Twitter?
For Twitter, you can be a main college mag, and then my personal one is AU Tiger GSU Eagle, or just Southern Eagle fan as I am.
Very good. All right, Walt. Well, appreciate it. And, good luck to y'all on Saturday, I guess. Not too much, but, good game. Just hoping for a good game. But
hopefully it's a clean game with no injuries.
Yeah, that too. And hopefully there's an LSU-Auburn element added to this game that there always seems to be. Like, I don't want no gems to catch on fire or nothing like that, which I was there for in 1996. I was 19 years old. I remember that vaguely, and I did not set that gym on fire. So I just want to let that out. I'll put that out there right now. I think I state this every year. they play at Auburn. But there's always something that happens in these games, and you know, hopefully this year doesn't disappoint. Hopefully it's a great nightcap to what's going to be a great weekend in college football. So, again, ladies and gentlemen, I was Walt Austin from collegeofmagnolia.com. Thank you for joining us on the Go Show. Hopefully next week talking about an LSU victory. We are finished. Go Tigers.
All right.